Hello and welcome to the Access Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Vin Misano. We are joined today by Rich Chufo. Rich has finished up his abbreviated senior year at Brown, unfortunately under pretty bad circumstances with the NCAA canceling the season unexpectedly. So him, like a lot of people, are in uncharted waters here. So I wanted to get his insight. I know, he had a chance to get drafted, still does. So it is... it's what's in the news right now. So, Rich, first, let's talk about, the last few days for you, really. I mean, when did this even become a reality that the season might be lost?
There were some rumors going around, obviously with the virus getting pretty bad, that our season is in jeopardy. We were on the field last Wednesday, getting ready for practice. A lacrosse team was out there, a softball team was out there. And then all at once, all the coaches pulled us off the field. Brought us into the locker room, and our coach broke down, started crying, and told us that our season's canceled and that we're gonna have to stop practicing everything. And it's been a hard couple days just to kind of process it all, but we're just taking it day by day and seeing what we could do.
I mean, my initial reaction was that it was like a fake account, like that guy, tweeting that the NCAA was canceled, and then obviously it came from the official account, so it was real. But was there any thought at first that you guys could at least play the regular season just to get some games in?
We had played 3 weekends already. We were 12 games into our season. When this thing all kind of happened, we knew that our season was probably going to be over for the longevity of it. It's tough to process. We were all pretty sad.
Have you been in contact with your teammates, like at least trying to, play, maybe organize in some capacity, even if it's not, in the Ivy League?
Yeah, we actually, we found out our season was over. And after that, we went back down to the field and started hitting, taking BP, just being out there all together. Mm-hmm. And then a couple days later, we organized a team practice, went down to the field and just threw some live bullpens and everything. And then a couple days later, the Brown University issues a statement saying that all the students have to leave campus.
Wow.
So that was kind of the turning point where it was like, all right, this is really over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I saw you started the change.org petition, and it, really the definition of viral is when it starts going on the internet and hitting people that you never even expected to sign it and to have it affect them as well. So can you tell our audience about that?
Yeah. I just knew that as soon as this happened, something needed to take place to try and raise awareness for what's going on. A lot of people in the college world don't necessarily understand what's going on with athletics and eligibility issues. So I just knew that they couldn't take our eligibility away, especially these seniors who've worked so hard to play 4 years at school. And I knew that something needed to happen to ensure that we could get our eligibility back to go play next year if that's what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the real world, though, like these, a lot of guys have job offers, especially in the Ivy League. I mean, everybody's brilliant. They all are well prepared for the future. So in reality, is that practical? Is that something that kids are considering doing?
Yeah. I mean, it's a really tough thing. I live with 4 of my teammates who are seniors, and we were all going on interviews. I'm supposed to have an interview this Friday in New York, but probably not going to go because it might get canceled.
Mm-hmm.
As of now, hopefully I'll get picked up in June in the draft. If not, maybe I'll go play somewhere else. If not, I have to work next year. So there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of options. So I'm just kind of keeping all my options open as of now and, going to see what we can do from here.
Mm-hmm. And then being a professional caliber player even adds another layer to it that most people don't have to deal with right now. Guys obviously want to play, but when you have the draft, you got workouts and stuff like that. So have you heard from any teams, or right now is it really just in a holding pattern?
I've been talking to a couple teams. They've been reaching out, just kind of seeing where I'm at, where my head's at. But there's this thing with eligibility in NCAA. So apparently if I go and do a pro workout and I have eligibility for the next year, it automatically eliminates my eligibility because I've already started working out with pro teams.
Mm-hmm.
Do I commit to a school to play next year? Do I not go to pro workouts?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, a lot of uncertainty. So we're just trying to figure it all out.
Yeah. And then, Ivy League kids, they already have a big workload as it is. So to our audience that does not know, what is that workload like in order just to stay eligible to play baseball?
It's tough. It's definitely a commitment. You have to be, you have to manage your time well. We're doing work on the roads. We're writing papers on the road. So it's tough. But at the same time, it keeps you locked in. It keeps you locked into what you're doing. You really got to control what you can control, take care of the little things, and, you know, organize your time well and stay on top of your stuff. And it's definitely manageable, and it's definitely doable.
And really, it's a year-long commitment, right? It's not like when May came in previous years that you just, you know, forgot about baseball and forgot about your future, right? That's something that's around the clock.
Right. It's around the clock. You're always working. And, you know, it's a lot. But like I said, you know, you manage your time well, you organize yourself, and I do believe anyone could do it if they really want to.
Mm-hmm. And you have a younger brother, Andrew, Philip Andover Academy, right? And he had a great year last year, and he's on that path as well. Middle infielder, very talented, and since I last saw him, he even grew more and filled out. So what are your hopes for his future?
He's a stud. He's a stud. He's bigger than me now. He's getting as strong as me. He's a freshman this year at Georgetown. Unfortunately, his season got cut short too. You know, it's not just me, it's affecting everyone, but he's a stud, and he's going to keep growing. He's going to keep getting better. And you know, I'm so proud of him and everything that he's done. He's really lived up to the expectations of people that, you know, are given to him.
And it segues into my next question. Georgetown, where Mike Studd graduated from. We were talking before we started recording here, you've been dabbling with music, and you know, that's another possible avenue for the future, at the very least, something that can pass your time. So, you know, how much time do you put into that? And when does that date back to your interest in being an artist?
So I was kind of producing beats, being a music producer for a while, a couple years. But this past summer, after Summer Bowl was over, I reached out to a friend who sent me a beat, and he said, you know, go ahead and record on it if you want. And I sent it back to him, and he was like, this is pretty good. I'm going to put it on Spotify. And I was like, all right, I'm already going on Spotify. So it kind of grew from there. And then I started producing my own music, making my own songs. There's actually a recording studio at Brown that I go to record some songs. And I, you know, it's something that I like doing. It's a passion of mine. It kind of gives me an escape to put my thoughts out there in an art form. So I really like it, and hopefully I can keep doing it for as long as I can.
And is that something that's big with the Ivy League schools? They try to promote creativity, right? I know, like, in the social network, they say a lot of our graduates don't work for other people. They have their own businesses.
Definitely.
So they try to encourage that entrepreneurial mindset?
Right. I mean, I've taken a lot of entrepreneurial classes at Brown. A lot of my friends are in the entrepreneurial track. And, you know, they definitely promote thinking on your own, thinking outside the box and doing what you want to do and doing what you love. So nothing should stop you from doing that.
Mm-hmm. And going back to the world of baseball, I mean, what have your summers consisted of the last couple of years being a high follow for the draft? I haven't, you know, I probably should have looked into it before we started recording today, but this was kind of on a whim. So if you could just tell our audience what your path was like.
Yeah. So after my freshman year at Brown, I played for a few games in the NECBL with the Mystic Schooners before tearing my ACL ultimately. So that ended that summer. After my sophomore year, I played down in Edenton, North Carolina with the Edenton Steamers in the CPL. And that was probably the most fun summer I've ever had.
What's small, the CPL?
The Coastal Plains League.
Oh, okay.
Coastal Plains League. And it was a rural small town on the coast of North Carolina with maybe 1,000 people in the town. Very small. Everyone knew each other. But the fans came out to every game, and it was a lot of fun. Great experience. And then this past summer, I played in the Northwoods League with the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. So I was out there for the summer, and that was great, too. Playing with guys from all over the country, a lot of talent, it's always great to expose yourself to that.
And now the Northwoods League is something that kind of flies under the radar, but most people consider it to be almost similar to rookie ball. And in the grind, you have long bus rides, right? I mean, that's something that people don't talk about, is how just physically how grueling and demanding that is, right?
Long bus rides. I mean, a few days we'd have a game in the morning. We'd take a shower, we'd get back on the bus, and we'd drive somewhere else and play a game that night. Definitely demanding. I mean, we played 75 games in about 72 days.
And you have like two different pitching staffs, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of pitchers, all hands on deck at all times. But yeah, it's a lot of baseball, but it's fun. If you want to do it for a living, I definitely recommend it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what is your advice, you think, to some of the younger guys out there right now that are, you know, their head's in a fog, they don't really know what's going on?
Honestly, if I had to break it down to one thing, I would just say keep going. Just keep going. Don't stop. Everyone is very uncertain with what's going on right now. But the last thing you want to do is start doubting yourself, start doubting your abilities. Keep working, keep grinding. This will pass just like everything does. We'll figure it out, and we'll just keep going.
Yeah, and one more question before we go. Let's go back to your Pat Med days. You know, 2015, I remember covering you guys' playoff game. You beat Northport, and I was just impressed by the talent on that team. So when you're looking back on, you know, what is your fondest experiences of playing for Coach Frascona for the Raiders?
I mean, it was so much fun. It was always so much fun. We had a great group of guys. A lot of them, pretty much all of them, went on to play college ball.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, obviously, I wish we could have won a little more games. But it was a lot of fun. High school was great, and I love those guys, and I still talk to them, pretty much all of them, every single day. So we're still a close group.
Yeah, when you go around that lineup from that day, I mean, I think everybody wound up playing at some point, yeah. You know, between the Mound brothers. You had Andrew Garcia, I think, was the pitcher.
Yep.
Cota Spodi and yep. his brother. Your brother.
My brother. We had Zach Genoa, who went on to play football at Brown.
Okay, so another really college player.
Yep.
And then the center fielder is at Queens right
Ronnie
now.
Ronnie Lanzalotto.
Yep.
Yep, he so was also a stud.
Up and down the lineup. And, yeah, I mean, when you look at it, really, that team probably could have won a county championship from my opinion. But, you know, you guys, I forget, who did you get eliminated by that year?
I want to say
it was probably a team like that
East
won.
East Islip, maybe?
Could be.
I think.
Oh, because, yeah, they lost to Hop Hog in it, so.
I believe it was East Islip. We played them at home, and they beat us.
Yeah, that's another.
I think
good
Mike Demarest
football.
Actually beat us.
We were just with him. Yep. Oh man, I'll have to mention that to him today. But and then what was the process like for you to go into Andover Academy?
Obviously, I won't go into the whole thing, but I was committed to Stony Brook.
Oh right,
that whole thing happened. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I had to go to Andover because ultimately I wanted to get to the Ivy League. That was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
So going there kind of was a great segue right into the Ivy League, and it worked out great.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, you know, in this time of uncertainty, at least we got some insight into, you know, what's going on. And, you know, we wish you the best, and hopefully this works out. We'll see you in professional baseball in the summertime.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
My pleasure. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Access Baseball Podcast.